Acts 6:1-7. This is the word of the Lord. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, the church receives the gift of deacons. The word deacon, it comes to us from the Greek word for servant. A deacon is a servant. He serves body of Christ. He is tasked with the particular responsibility of watching over the physical needs of the body. Now in Acts chapter 6, there were widows in the church who were being overlooked in the daily distribution. They were in need, but this need was being neglected by the church. The responsibility of caring for these widows, it was important enough for the apostles to set apart some to devote themselves to their care. The care of others who were like them. The care of those in need. The care of those in distress. The care of the widow and the orphan and the stranger. Now, this was not something new to the people of God. It was a charge that had been with them for long as they had been the people of God. God himself is named Father of the fatherless and Protector of widows. His fatherly care of the orphan, his husbandly love for the widow, it was to be engraved upon the hearts of his people. For we find it written within their law, as in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 19. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not strip it afterward. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. Now, it is worth pausing here and reflecting upon these three goods that are mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 24, the three goods that were to be shared with the poor: grain, the olive, and the grape. It is from these that we receive bread and oil and wine. And though these were staples in the biblical world, they were more than staples. They were signs of God's beneficent kindness to his creatures. As we read in Psalm 104, verse 15, where the Lord gives wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen his heart. The provision of grain and olives and grapes to the poor among his people, it was not for their mere subsistence, but that through the generosity of his people, they would be made strong and their hearts would be glad and their faces would be made to shine. For what had been given in grace was to be shared in grace. So let us be wary of speaking of the deserving poor. For we were once poor before the Lord, and we did not deserve what he gave. The care of the widow and the orphan and the stranger. In Acts chapter 6, we find it in the church. But it did not begin with the church. It was a part of the life of the people of God from its beginning. And if we are tempted to seek a life without the poor, let us not forget how our Lord identifies himself with them. As we read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 17, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him. And we have this wisdom in Christ, who though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty,
might become rich. The care of the needy,
it is not an afterthought to the Lord,
but defines him.
It is not a footnote in the life of the church.
The life of the church is to be known by it.
It is a part of what it means to be the people of God. It is a part of what it means to be conformed to his image, to grow in his likeness, to bear his fragrance. Our last Lord's Day, we considered the quality of man required to serve the church in this way. Men of repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. How they were to be chosen for the service by the congregation and ordained to the service by the apostles. One thing we did not consider was their number. Why were 7 to be chosen? Considering the number of the apostles, we readily recognized that the number of 12 apostles corresponds to the number of the 12 tribes of Israel. But why then did the apostles instruct the church to set apart 7? The text does not tell us, but perhaps we are given a clue by the problem it sought to address, that widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And how many days are there in a week? There are 7 days in a week. A deacon for each day. An expression of God's care for his people and seeing to it that they are given their daily bread. On last Lord's Day, we also noted that after these things, after this provision was made for God's people, that each day they would not be left without bread, that each day they would be provided for and given their daily bread. Last Lord's Day, we noted that after these things, a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And it would be worth our devoting a little more time to that fact. For in it, we find a blessing. But in it, we also find a warning. But first, the blessing. It may seem strange for it to be noted here at this point in the story that a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. But we should not read it in isolation from what precedes it, the appointing of the 7 to serve the church and to care for her poor. But what connection may we make between the two? How should we understand the appointing of the 7 to care for the poor of the church being followed by a great many of the priests becoming obedient to the faith?
may find that connection in the Old Testament. We may find it in the life of the people of God there. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 26 and verse 12 of chapter 26, we read of the tithe, that the tithe was to be given by the people to the Levite, to the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow, that they might eat and be filled. It was to be given to the Levite because he had no portion in the land. And it was to be given to the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow because of their need. We see in Deuteronomy that the care of the priestly tribe was bound to the care of the poor. Of all of God's people, the Levite and the priest were to be most concerned that the needy be provided for. It is why the parable of the Good Samaritan is so disturbing, in which a man is beaten and left for dead, and a Levite and a priest passing by cross the road in order to avoid him, while the despised Samaritan at last has compassion upon him and cares for him. The shame of this parable is heightened not because of the status of the priest and the Levite, but because they had a special charge to care for those in need, a charge which in the parable they ignored. And in that parable, we may say that we have a summary of the failure of the Old Testament priesthood. It is a failure that we see unfold throughout the Old Testament, beginning with Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, and how they offered strange fire to the Lord. A story that continues to unfold with Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, and how they plundered the portions of the people's offerings to the Lord. As we read the Old Testament, at times it seems that more often than not, the priesthood of Israel was prone to go astray and to lead the people astray. So we may say that the longing for Christ in the Old Testament, the longing for Christ would not only have been the longing for a Savior or the longing for a faithful prophet, or the longing for a faithful king. The longing for Christ in the Old Testament would have also expressed itself as the desire for a faithful priest, by whose holy hands the fullness of God's benediction might at last rest upon his people. And this blessing, it has been given to us in Christ. was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification.
We see the fullness of God's blessing in him as our faithful priest. For as he ascended into heaven, he ascended with hands raised. But as he ascended, his hands were raised not toward heaven, but toward earth. He ascended with hands raised, not to the heavenly host, but to his people. From Christ, we have received fullness of blessing. From his hands, we have received the fullness of joy, which is the gift of his Spirit. The new covenant is a better covenant than the old covenant. Not because the old covenant overlooked the needy, but because with the new covenant, we have a faithful high priest who does not ignore their cry. We have in him the fulfillment of what the priests of old had been called to do, but failed to do. This is the great blessing of the new covenant. And because of it, we may understand why these priests of old were drawn to it, why they were drawn to him. And drawn to him, they became obedient to the faith. They were drawn to the faithfulness of Christ. Withdrawn to the faithfulness of his priesthood. Truly, this is the blessing of the new covenant. But with this blessing comes also a warning. In Acts chapter 6, how is it that Christ was pleased to care for the widow and for the orphan and for the stranger in the midst of his people? How is it that Christ is pleased to care for the widow, for the orphan, and for the stranger in your midst? He does not do so by raining bread from heaven. He does so by opening the hearts of his people, that they may open their hands to those who are in need. What happens when his people refuse to open their hands? What happens when they refuse to give what they themselves have received? You see what happens in the old covenant. Shall we think that what happened to them cannot happen to us? shall we suppose that our hearts can be hardened to the widow and the orphan and the stranger, but open to the Lord? Shall we suppose that we can love God but hate our brother? The one who closes his heart to the needy. He closes his heart to the Lord. He closes his heart to Christ. The church, under the new covenant, is not to be known by the faithlessness of those priests of old. It is a place that is to be known by the faithfulness of our great high priest, Jesus Christ, the Lord. It is a place where the widow is to know the love of her bridegroom. It is the place where an orphan is to know the love of his father. It is a place where the stranger is to know the love of a friend. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. This love is yours in Christ. This grace is yours in Christ. May your hearts be open to him. And may your hands be open to the poor, that here they may find strength in him. That here their hearts may be gladdened with his joy. That here their faces may shine with his glory. God be praised. Amen.